This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for another opportunity to look into your word, another opportunity to be blessed, another opportunity to see you again. You said, as many that seek you, they will find you. Lord, we come seeking. We've been knocking on this door. That, Lord, you open this door to us in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes again. Encounter our heart again. Help us again. Show us this great harvest. Help us to know. Give us knowledge. Give us insight. Give us wisdom. Help us, Lord. We don't want to go through this lesson and become the same. Lord, we receive everything that you have in store for us. We receive breath. We receive life. That, Lord, it will not be another lesson. Lord, you will bring blessing. You will grant utterance, you will grant entrance, you grant insight. You authorize this word again in the name of Jesus. I align myself accordingly under the authorities that you have set, under the authorities of this house and of our Lord Jesus in the name of Jesus. And I receive supply. I receive supply that I will not go ahead of you. I will follow you, Jesus. I will follow you. Thank you for your spirit that you have strength to help me. Thank you for your presence. Oh, for there's a presence here. Oh, thank you for opening the words again to all of us. Oh, I receive the eyes to see for everybody in the name of Jesus. And I judge birds that fly, that come to steal words. I put you to obey in the name of Jesus. Things that block ears, I say you are judged, you are rebuked. The Lord Jesus is in the house. So therefore, we receive liberty. Lord, my desire is that this word will go into us and will thrive in the name of Jesus. Thank you for a fruitful heart, for our hearts will be fruitful with this word. It is harvest. So therefore, it is harvest. Seed will prosper in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We thank God for how he has led us again. We've been looking at the great what? The great harvest. Can we echo it together?
The great harvest.
The church and the household of what? Okay. Last week, we looked at the introduction. And one of the things we did say last week was that we are God's husbandry. Now, when God looks at us, he looks at us as plants. You know, the Lord wants to raise from us trees of righteousness. And that what God wants to have from all of us, God wants to reap an harvest from us in his entirety. Not just the harvest of our spirit, who is quickened as a born-again Christian, but the harvest of our soul and the harvest of our what? Body. We also looked at the two types of harvest, plenteous harvest and the harvest of what? The great harvest. And we examined that the primary concern of the Lord is to get what? The great harvest. And I know, I think we looked at also the place of the call, that it is not enough for you and I to say we are born again. It is not enough for us to just sit on our list. You know, God wants us to be empty from what? Vessel to vessel. Last week, the note at which you ought to leave the meeting was a note of a call to be fruitful. So this morning, we are looking at lesson 2, the great harvest and his laborers. So can we read James 5? Say, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the what? Precious fruit of the earth, and had what? Long patient for it, until received the what? The early and the latter rain. Luke 10, verse 1 to 7. Okay, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would call. Therefore, said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Okay? Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Verse 7. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. John 4:35-38. Okay. Say not ye, they are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed not labor, and other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Finally, 1 Corinthians 3:4-11. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave her the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builder thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So our objective this morning is to identify laborers and their scope of labor within the great harvest. We want to also look at, you know, the importance of being diligent in church and households. We're also going to elucidate on the scope of labor required of every believer. So one of the things that I wanted to start with is that the workings and the sustenance of the heaven and earth reveal the diverse expression of the ordinances established in creation. Now, the Lord just began to expound this to my heart as I thought about it. That, say, heaven and earth, they have their ordinances. As believers, we must be schooled. You know when people talk about galaxy? If you want to know about galaxy, go and read the book of Job. Because what man is discovering what God has made already. And what God has kept in his word. So heaven and earth at his ordinance. I want us to read Job 38:33. So you understand what I'm saying. He said, knowest thou what? The ordinances of heaven. Canst thou say the dominion thereof? Do you know what this means? That heaven has his own ordinance. You cannot not bring the dominion of that ordinance of heaven to earth. That's what this is saying. Jeremiah 33:25. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not been appointed the ordinances of what? It means that God has ordinance. Order. Ordinance means what? Order. Order of how things are what? Done. So there's a way things are done in the heaven. There's a way things are done where? In the earth. Now, let me tell you, one of the things that we have the blessing of having visibility of is the ordinance of earth. Now, one of the ordinance of earth is seed time and harvest time. Unlike the heavens, the ordinance of growth, fruitfulness, harvest is chiefly worked out within the earth, which man is the principal word being. I want us to read Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. When it comes to seed, you see this ordinance, if you can understand it, you will walk. You will know that being on earth is a blessing. You know, some of us, we live our life as if we are just occupying space, as if we are matter. You say, why the earth what? Remaineth. Seed time and what? Harvest. And what? Cold and what? Eat. Summer and what? Winter. Uh-huh. Day and what? Night. Shall not what? So, one ordinance of earth is that there's seed time and there's what? You know, I was just thinking that what about the ordinance of heaven? You know, one of the things that came out of my spirit, he said they were made so. So, when it comes to the ordinance of heaven, they are made so. But the issue of man, me and you, is an issue of a process of making. Because people, it is a blessing to be on earth. You know, there are many things about the earth that because of growth, we don't have understanding. You know, like we say, the Lord established the earth on waters. I believe we know that. There's Psalm 24, verse 1. He said, the earth is the Lord's and what? Fullness thereof. Uh-huh. And they that dwell what? Therein. For he had founded it upon, see, and established it upon. The foundations of the earth is what? That
That is why, you know, the flooding during Noah's time, the water did not come from above. The Bible says the Lord opened the deep with deep wet, deep from the depths. It's not only the rain. Deep from the depths. And if you think you are, this whole world is full of water. See, if you travel, and you travel, you will meet water. Okay, let me explain. Genesis chapter 1. The ordinance of earth, there's an understanding you must have. You know, even this light and day that you and I say, there's a light and day that you and I don't have understanding of. The light and day that we have understanding of is a light that moon and star govern. They say, what happened when the sun is rising is day. Many of us have read Genesis chapter 1. We have read it like Bible book. But it's one, he said, and God said, let there be what? Light. And there was what? In the beginning, God created what? Heaven and what? So, when people say, where did God exist? Where did God? In the beginning, God. So, in the beginning, it means that there's a God before the beginning. Are you hearing me? He said, God created the heavens and what? You see, this beginning is not the beginning of earth. You know, God knows how many eons of year. Between verse 1 and verse 2, there's a lot. And then the earth was without what? Form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of what? So, the verse 2, the only visibility they gave us is from verse 2, the earth. You see, when it comes to the heaven, we don't have that except by revelation. We don't have it. So when people are telling us about 4th, 7th, 3rd heaven, you will know that it is a blessing of God. So everything from verse 2 is about the earth. Then read 3, he said, and let there be what? And there was what? Light. And God saw that the light was good and divided the light from what? Darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. You see, this light and day is even from the light and day we operate in. So when we are hearing the day of the Lord for the earth, you see, there was still waters. The earth was still in waters. But then the Lord now said, let the firmament in the midst of the water do what? Divide the waters from what? And that firmament, God called it what? And then, verse 8, called the firmament heaven and said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered into one place and let the land what? And it was so. That land, they called it what? Earth. It is that earth that you and I relate with. It's not that first earth in verse 2. Call the dry land what? It is this earth that you and I, when we are talking geography, this is the earth. There's a earth in verse 2. There's a light and day. Because when you go, by the time you go down, they now say, let us create lights in the firmament and let that light rule the day. Let it declare heaven. This is the earth we are relating. But there's a earth. Go and read the book of beginning. There's a earth you and I don't have privy to. When they say there's a hair, the hair is not this hair. There's a hair invisible that is still in waters. So the heaven and the earth. So we are saying the earth has its ordinance. Say the earth has ordinance. God's people, one of the ordinance of the earth is to know that there's seed, there's harvest, and there's reward. Say reward. One thing the Holy Ghost was just emphasizing in my heart. When they say, you know, harvest is reward. You know, we're saying to say that one of the ordinance of the earth is harvest. Do you know that when we looked at Revelation 14, I don't think they said there was any harvest of the heaven. When they put the sickle in Revelation 14, there were two types of harvest, the harvest of the earth and the harvest of the vines of the earth. I've not read it in Revelation that there was an harvest of heaven. I'm just saying that when it involves the issue of harvest, is this earth. The ordinance of the earth is seed time and what? Harvest. That is why whatever you sow, you will do what? You see, the earth, everything that makes the earth, the things in the earth, is about seed time and what? Harvest. You even if whatever you sow in your body, you will reap it. Are you understanding me? See, the earth is the only place you can talk about reward. I remember some years back, the Lord was telling me that reward is real. Let me tell you, the Bible says, you see, whatever you do with your body, you will get a reward for it. The church doesn't preach it again. The church doesn't preach it. The Bible says it's appointed for man to die once. After that, that you have breath is a blessing. 2 Corinthians 5:10. I want us to understand that when we are talking about health, we are talking about seed, we are talking about harvest, and it is a blessing to be alive. For we must all appear before the judgment, what? Seat of Christ. Now, I want to say this about judgment. You know, basically, we see two kinds of judgment. There's the judgment seat of Christ, which is for believers. There's a white throne judgment that is for the ungodly. We saw that in Revelations. So every believer, when you drop this bodysuit as a born-again Christian, you will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm wondering why it is Christ they are putting there. That means the minimum requirement for anybody, for a believer, is Christ. He said that everyone may receive the things done here according to that which he had what? Whether good or what? God's people, that's why if you use your body anyhow, there's reward. There's not only reward for the things you will reap on this earth, you will account for your body. Say, my body. You know, that's why Christians say, I can do anything with my body. You know, it doesn't matter. I can do anything that is my spirit is born again. It's my body that is, you know, doing things that you ought not to do. There's reward. You see, because this body is not your own. You see, this concept of when they are telling you to give accounts, they are telling you that actually you don't own it. So I'm trying to say that the only place as a believer you and I have on this earth is to do well with our body. Why we must lay hold? You must, every believer, at the back of your mind, as you are living your life, if you are doing your weary and doing all your nonsense, just know that there is a judgment seat that is waiting for you. Do all your disobedience. I don't understand. You are speaking English. You see, is it that you fall into the judgment seat of Christ, or there's a white throne of judgment, and there are different measures of death, the great and the small. But you see, this judgment seat of Christ, you will give account. Because in the earth, say the earth, one of the things about the earth is seed time, harvest time, and accounting. You will account, oh. You account for your earthly suits. And that's why anytime you have breath, when you wake up in the morning, just know that it's an opportunity to have a better account. When you wake up, Lord, I thank you. Just know that they have given you another opportunity to have what? It is what a bird eats. It is what he will carry. Your address in the world to come, it is from here you determine it. Where you want to end, you determine it from here. Your access to the Son of God, to the throne, it is from here you determine it. I'm telling you, you see this thing, it is manual for our progress as a believer. If you like, speak all your, see, my pastor is not saying, I don't like my pastor, I don't know. English, there's a judgment seat of God. You see all that I don't like. You know, you can don't like many things, but please, like where you end up. So, man is ordained to partake of and experience different measure of growth and change. So, it is only on earth that we have the blessing of change. They said angels were made so. When they talked about the sons of the morning, when they sang their first song, imagine, sons of the morning, they made them and they're already singing the day they were made so. You don't understand? When they talked about even an anniversary, the fallen cherub, the tabaret, it was made with tabaret. We grow into tabaret. So it is only here that the place of growth and change is in our soul. And and you see that change is possible through the labor within us. God's people, it is not correct that the way you were born is the way you go back. Whether born, it is not correct. If they are sending us into the earth. So you can see that the earth is a blessing. You know, suicidal thoughts, you know that it's inverted an hellish thing. Because what suicidal thoughts, one of the things it does is that it makes as if your life has no meaning. But you will know that your life is precious. You say precious. When they are going to redeem the life of a believer, they took the blood of a God. Your life is precious. It's you that don't understand the pressure. Why is Satan disturbing you, my brother? Satan knows that will hold it down for me. But he has sworn an oath that, you see, you, and many of us don't know that we have an advantage. Advantage of change. You know, Satan does not even trust any man. Forget me, because he knows that man has a natural advantage of change. Man, you know, that's why Satan always follows a man to the end. To the last, because he knows that to bad change, by man can change. You don't understand? Satan can seal a demon and know I'm done. But with man, Man just needs to see something and he will turn. The ability to turn and grow is inheritance as one of the ordinances of the earth. And that's why a man should not journey to a place where he's sealed. You see that sealing? It means that you have joined the ordinance of heaven. Yes, inverted heaven. The moment a man is sealed on earth, your ordinance has changed though. Your laws and principle has changed. And that's why the men that will end up in lake, amen, that they have been sealed by the ordinance of the inverted heaven. Amen. So the home, the church, those are grounds where tireless labor must continue, you know, upon every member for the heart, effectual increase of body and love. And you know, having breath is a blessing. I just want to say this. Let me tell you, we've had some saying God to be with the Lord, right? Do you know one of our joys? Do you know why we are not worried? Because they've gone to be with the Lord. Especially people who apply themselves. So when a saint goes home, I tell people that actually when a saint goes home, the cry, why we are crying is not because of the saint. Sure, you know, saint has, where did the saint go? The cry is our, we are crying for ourselves. We are crying for the vacuum. We are crying for the pain. Abi, what they wear to us, that the saint, in fact, if you give that saint all the diamond of this world, and tell the saint, I'll send one of our sisters, and in fact, that all the instruction your mommy has been giving you, I say, mommy, don't worry, I'm going to do it. I'll do. And say, she'll come back. She'll just look at you, wait, you the joke? You the whine me? She's not going to leave that. So, do you not know why our labor for harvest, why we should have a passion for this harvest, is that everybody that comes around, you want them to end up where? Even in a very good place. Why do we evangelize even to unbelievers? Because you don't want them to go to hell. Why do we evangelize even to ourselves? Because you want people to have a bounty of harvest that is prepared for them. And then one of the things that I also wanted to emphasize here is that there's a necessity for everyone to labor in a measure. I want us to read Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. He said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into what? The unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. Okay? 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He said, but speaking what? Truth in love may grow up to him in what? In all what? Things. Which is what? The head, even Christ. 16. I want us to screen 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, there's a place of every, say supply. When it comes to harvest, everybody must supply. Both the laborers, both the laboree, both the husbandry, everybody must supply. He said, from him, the whole body, the church, in his what? Various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each body is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in what? He said, working properly. Say properly. There's a properly working that everybody must apply. One other thing I wanted to say here is that when it comes to the work, every church or household must not be flippant or careless. But we must be revealed, we must be guided, we must undertake partnership with laborers so that the resources of God that are made available will be used. Amen. Any zeal or activity within the house that is by mere logic or done with eye service will yield little or no profit. Ephesians 6 verse 6, eye service. I don't know why you came to church. Whether you came to church because ice is eye service or so that they will not call me. And not as men, but what? As a what? Servant of Christ doing what? The will of God. From where? God's people, every labor, whether in church, whether in the household, must be without, you are not pleasing any man. You don't come to church to please a pastor. And that's why if you are still coming to church, so that you know your eyes still need to be open. If you don't understand that you are a co-laborer in this harvest that God wants to reap, firstly in you, within and without, then you are joking, no? Say you are joking. You are joking. You are not just a joker. So the household and church is constituted to labor not in vain over anyone, but they serve as an edge. Say edge of cultivation and ensuring that every man is what? Deliberately what? Considered, attended to, aided in growth. So we are saying that no labor must be in vain. In household, in churches, there must be intentional, deliberate effort put in. Let's read Hebrews 3:13. He said, but exhort one another daily what it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened through what? The deceitfulness of sin. So there is a call to exhort. Say exhort. This call to exhort is not only pastors. So even they say exhort one another. They didn't say pastors exhort. They say exhort what? It means that when you relate with your brother and your sister, what they should find in your mouth is exhortation. Not that things that will pull them down. Not that the latest gossip or the latest gist. Or have you seen the walk up? I mean, can you see? No, if you talk walk up, talk exhortation too. You understand? Exhort one another daily. It's an instruction, not that last week you talk exhortation, next week, no. So God expects everybody to nurture. Say nurture. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12:12-25, Amplified Version. So that there will be no what? Division or discord in the body. One translation says schizing. Is it? That is lack of what? Adaptation of the parts to each other. But that the parts may have the same what? Concern for who? One another. Let's read 26. And if one body what? Suffers, all parts share the suffering. And if one member is honored, all rejoice with it. 27. Now you collectively are what? Christ's body. And individually, you are what? Members of it. Each with his own what? Special purpose and function. Because people, you matter in the body. You know, Satan makes you look at, it doesn't matter what you do, matters to what? It affects us. Your obedience affects us. What you do, you matter. He said accordingly, watching over one another. You understand? So there's a concern that everyone is what? Concerned. Say concern. God expects us to have concern for one another. My brother is not growing. I am not growing. God doesn't want us to be flippant. Say God doesn't want us to be flippant. Now, understanding the laborers and their labors, okay? The first person we are looking at, say the husbandman. Who gives the increase. Now, the husbandman is God who owns every field and every labor where is bestowed. He's the one that has to the church. He's the one that sets in household. The Lord is the one that has to church. As much as you felt you came on your own accord, no, they added you to church. Any church you are in, they added you. It's the Lord that has to household. That's why it is amazing, you know, for a believer to just think your household will just happen like that without the input of the Lord. You know, even when some of us feel that we come from households that you are not proud of, you did not drop from the sky. They added you to that household. Even if the household is shongo, they added you. You don't understand. So it's the Lord who orchestrates and he has ordained labor. He labors on the field, supplying all the necessary what? Resource. That's what we may be filled. John 15:1. He says, I am divine and what? Is he what? Husbandman. Did you hear that? That the husbandman is what? The Father. Then let's read 1 Corinthians 3:6-7. I have what? Planted. Apollos what? Watered. But God gave what? So then neither is he that planted what? Anything. Neither he that watered, but God that giveth. So when it comes to setting up, you know, the field, the labor, it is God is the husband. Say husbandman. Define husband. Is a house. You know, a band of a house. Tight. Holder of a house. Husbandman. The one who bands the house. He seeks abundant fruits. And the fruit of increase and multiplication proceeds from him. He watches over the field to ensure that what? Every worthy labor bestowed upon it yields what? The measure of profit and what? Increase. Because people, you and I must remember this. God is not a waster. God is God of Yafin Yafin, but he does not waste. If a basket is leaking, God will not continue to supply them. Because every measure of life is life. That cannot be wasted. When God bestows labor, he has expectation of increase. Matthew chapter 21 from 18. He said he came to the fig tree. He was hungered. Is that hungered? He's husbandman seeking. He said hungered. Say hungered. That means he was seeking. And when he saw the fig tree, somebody said, hey, bro, I said, you know, he looks at the fig tree is harmless. The fig tree is not harmless. Because it was a season where he ought to have, you know, he said no fruit grew on it forever. You would think that, is it not unfair? They were nurturing that fig tree. It is interesting if you are comparing yourself to your brother. You know, people say that in church, people are quick to copy and paste wrong things. Brother, so is doing something wrong, then you copy it. You know, that thing is, it's babyish. the label bestowed on that brother here. Is it the same label bestowed upon you? You and God, you know where they've been on your matter since. Look at you from secondary school, you have been following this Jesus. They have not been able to see even 30-fold. And you are here. And you know, somebody is now doing folly. And you now copy folly. And he is ungrateful and he comes to you because there's an expectation. Let me tell you, the volume of books continue irrespective of where you are. What must happen is that in your meeting with destiny, where God has ordained for you, they must meet a commensurate growth. Or that day, you know when they say somebody brought forth wind? Have you heard that thing? That's what they call bringing forth wind. When they say they came to labor, but they had no strength. That's what happens when they come to you expecting growth and they don't meet it there. And it can happen to a believer. And that time, you will now wonder, well, how had I known? I would have applied myself wisely. Do you know that some of the blessings and some of the authority of life, some of the status we should have come into is because we didn't do well in previous seasons of supply. Don't say that all this labor of God, they want to reap. God wants to reap over my life. God wants to reap the place of patience. All the years you have been working, you have worked with difficult people, and yet they've not been able to reap patience or long suffering. So what is the essence of putting you in that situation? You see, believers must know these things. That God has expectation of labor. He said, the Lord is a master. He has expectation because he knows what he has put in. Do you know when we go through some sufferings, God knows you should be able to bear it. You should be able to bear it. They don't expect you to fold up like a pack of cards. We went through some situations some years back and somebody had a revelation. And she saw me in that revelation. That whole day, I feared the Lord again. She said she was saying that I was writing an exam, only one in an exam hall. And I was writing it, and I was writing it. And the exam was hard. She saw that it was hard. That it was hard, and I was writing it. It was hard, and she was now telling the examiner that this thing is hard. This thing that you're giving her is hard, though. This thing that you're giving her is hard. The examiner looked at her squarely. She said she's expected to do well and pass it. She said she has all it takes. So I now saw that sometimes you go through some situations in life. Your reaction is not what is commensurate with the world. They will say that this thing is not the way this thing is. You have gone through a lot. You know, the world will even help you say you have gone through a lot. Please, don't be quick to sit down, you have gone through a lot. Check within the commensurate response that you are supposed to bring forth. You must know so that the sympathy of the world will not kill us. Amen. Can we quickly have it, God's people?
I safa tile mute. Temunanga kakalite matwa sistemana. Waiting. I'm waiting on the other side. I'm waiting on the other hand. I'm waiting at the hand. Yea, I am with you, but yea, I'm also at the hand. I'm also at the end of the matter, waiting for a report. There is a report I expect even upon that matter. There is a report I am expectant of even upon that matter, even upon that which you are going through, even upon that which you are being passed through. Yeah, yeah. stay faithful, stay faithful, stay faithful, for grace has been supplied. Stay faithful to the end, even for I must partake, I must partake. There is a joy I must take up, even at the end of this matter, even at the end of this matter. So don't deprive me of it. Don't deprive me of it. Don't deprive me of that which I must take, even at the end of this matter. That's my joy. That's my reward, even upon you, even upon you, upon you. So stay true to the process. Stay true till the end, and I will be made glad. My heart will be made glad, even at the end of the day, said the Spirit of God.
I don't know what you are going through. The Lord has an expectation that you don't fall his hand. The Lord has an expectation. Why God can boast of that expectation is because what he has put inside of you. I always tell some people, I say, don't take yourself too seriously. Because many times what God has supplied inside of you, you are stronger than what is outside of you. The Lord of the harvest. And when we are looking with the Lord of the harvest last week, who did we say the Lord of the harvest is?
The Holy Ghost.
Is the Holy Ghost. Is the one that oversees who? The work ongoing in every soul within the church, homes and household. He subjectively leads and guides, setting the right atmosphere and climatic condition for growth. He orchestrates circumstances and other situations while simultaneously leading the believer from within. Through this, he ensures that the process of growth is preserved and not truncated. Some of us, the Holy Ghost is the one doing us. He's the one orchestrating situation, orchestrating some people that are a challenge in your life, orchestrating your landlord, orchestrating colleagues, orchestrating family member. He is the Holy Ghost because he wants to reap an harvest. You know, you can't bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is long-suffering, without going through some things, right? Long-suffering is not an anointing. You have to suffer long with something. You know, you say, God, I want to be patient. Make me patient. You are praying for orchestration because they will give you a situation that, you see, that's your impatience. They will sit on it like a refiner fire. Mom, you know, the Holy Ghost is, it will sit. Say sit. You know, when they say sit, that is they have cheer. They are not in a hurry. Because the issue of patience, you know, it's patience we are talking about. Do you already become patient? You can't already become patient. Because that hurry itself is impatience. Yeah, some people, sometimes, our folks, family, you just like, did they send you to me? Have you ever been that? Chimonu and see me? Did you wake up and see me? There's some people like that. Love challenge is the Holy Ghost because they want to reap an harvest. They want you to prove the ordinance of the earth. That something can grow. That a tree of righteousness can grow forth. Is the Holy Ghost. You see, that sweet Holy Ghost at new birth. Holy Ghost is not shandalababa. You see, when he's shandalababa, he's getting you excited. He wants you to love him. He wants you to love his way. You know, when you can say, oh, I sense in my spirit. You know, the giftings and all those moves that you do. You touch somebody, he falls. It's the Holy Ghost. He's trying to befriend you. He wants you to know that I can do this, but there's another one I can do. They call him the dresser of the vineyard. Luke 13:6-7. He's the one that dresses it. He's the dresser of the vineyard. Luke 13:6-7. He said, he spake also this parable. A certain man has a fig tree planted where? And he came and sought what? Fruit thereon. And found what? Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, the dresser. They say dresser. See, Holy Ghost can dress you. He will, you don't say dresser. You know, it's not even dressing. He just dress you, dress. They don't only dress you, they dress the people around you. Dress as if some people, they gave them your name. Some situation, it just looks like, it's the Holy Ghost over a believer. Holy Ghost can be looking at some spirit trouble a believer and be winking at it. They are not afraid because they know the only thing that can happen, they can use that matter. There's no matter about your life that the Holy Ghost cannot use. There's nothing. And that's why as a believer, your life should not be compartmentalized. You should know that every part of you is the hand of the Holy Ghost. The Bible calls him the Spirit of Truth. John 16:30. Howbeit he, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. And he shall show you what? He shall show you harvest to come. He shall show you harvest to come. He's ever present with the believer. You know, the Holy Ghost is a gift that is not taken from a believer. When you are moving to the world to come, you are going with the Holy Ghost. You see, he exited the space to dwell in you and I. That's why when you look at the bright lamb, when you say, I saw the bride and the lamp, where is the Holy Ghost?
The Holy Ghost has become one with you and I. If Jesus said it, then it is true. He's ever present. He bears tears, hunger for growth. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because neither knowing us, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he might do what? One translation say, he will be with you forever. Did they say, be with you? He said, with you where? With you what?
Forever.
Forever. His habitation is with us forever. So he reveals a better way. Because they said he will teach you all truth. He reveals a better way for judgment. Show you how to handle situations better. How many of us have trusted the Holy Ghost to help you handle situations? How many of you, some things are going through you and then you just say, Holy Ghost, help me. And the Holy Ghost will just give you one wisdom. Has it happened to you before? The demons are like, shut up, shut up. I remember one time I was going through something at work and I was just like, God, I'm doing all this. And there was so much pandemonium. Only me, I don't know how many army was against me. And I remember that day, I was just like, God, help me, help me. As I was climbing up to the office that day, the instruction was like, let it fall. You know, I was like, let it go. I said, go. Go away. This matter, you're not supposed to let this go. You're supposed to build. You're supposed to. He said, let it go. That instruction was a lifesaver. Sometimes I know some of you, have you been talking to police before? Maybe a matter is getting out of hand. And then you just say, Holy Ghost, help me. And you just say, keep quiet. Or the Holy Ghost says, say sorry. And how many of you has ever said sorry and the sorry just like detonates? It gives you judgment. Wives, does it not happen? You see, every time you have been doing, you know, I am the neck, I'm the neck, I'm the neck. And the Holy Ghost just say, don't be the neck. Be the house gay. They're just using me in this house. Oh yeah, be used. And you know, I always tell my sisters that if you have never felt used as a wife or a mother, you have not done that to your profession and calling very well. Because you just feel like, it's like they are using me. And they, what are you? What did I call you? Helpmate. House help. Helpmate. You are a help. Helper of house. So the Holy Ghost. Then there's also the one who plants. Say the one who plants. I'm the one who waters. The Lord raises and equips men to sow the seed into the kingdom, into the heart of men. We read that in Ephesians, that a preacher must be sent. You know, some people will say you can hear God for yourself. Men must be sent to you. You hear God for yourself. You see, you can hear God for yourself. You cannot grow for yourself. That thing is a bewitchment to growth. Because men must be sent. Even when we read Romans 10, 13, when it says, you know, that thing we talk about how you believe, he said that they must be sent. We say, well, if nobody is sent to you, won't hear. Even if he said I was just in my room and then I was convicted, actually they sowed the seed already inside of you. Something about seed. It's not that it is not now that seed is sown. It has been sown. But another occasion will come. The seed would have just received another water. And then it can begin to speak. Yes, he said, and how shall they preach? Except they be what? Sent. So men must be sent. Say men must be sent.
Men must be sent.
Men must be sent. Men must be sent. So God sends men. And it is, we see this in fivefold ministry. You know, and it's important to know that the vastness of the harvest and various circumstances surrounding it is not limited to them alone, but also through the basket of leadership that is used during oversight. I want us to read 2 Timothy 2:2 quickly. So it's not only the fivefold that is sent. There are also leaders. Say leaders. Men that are sent. Men must be what? Sent to us. Can we read this? He said, and the things that thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to what? Faithful men. Who shall be able to what? So you can even see four classes here. You know, there are four classes of here. The things you have heard of me, one. Among many, and then the same commit to faithful men, who shall be able to what? Teach. So there's Paul, there's Timothy, and there's also faithful men, and men who will teach others. So in every church, you will see all forms of, say all manners of leadership. It is for our harvest. Titus 1:5. For this cause let I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are what? Wanting, and do what? Ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So you can see that is a manual even for the early church. They labor in word, doctrine, in prayer, in conjunction with grace and skill that is supplied by God. They serve as shepherds through whom knowledge, understanding, and wise counsel is ministered. So there's a labor that they labor in, you know, for us all. Their foremost labor is to model a life. Say to model a life. that is pleasing and worthy unto the Lord, which other believers can see and emulate. They are to care for the flock of God, looking diligently into their state and attending to their matters in order to foster growth and deal with hindrance. Let's read 1 Timothy 4:12. So one of the things, the expectation of our leaders is that they model a life. It's not only in word and prayer. Is that what? For a leader in church, the expectation is that you model a life. Your life must be commensurate with what you are preaching. There must not be a disparity. He said, let no man what? Despise their youth, but be that what? An example of believers in what? Conversation, in what? Charity, in what? Faith, and what? Purity. So, you see this brother Timothy. Brother Timothy was a young man, no? I think at this stage, maybe 18, 20, 21, you know? And they are telling him that you should not despise. You know, a lot of youth are despised. Because you say, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. You know, have you heard people say that? When they say that and you are there, and I say, oh, it's a young person, what does he know? They are despising your youth. It means that you have not modeled the conversation. We must model conversation in families. He said, be an example. We should not be in your watch that they say, oh, what do you expect from all this Gen Z? You see all this Gen Z? You see, it is an abuse. Take it very personal and flesh out the conversation. All this Gen Z, is an abuse. Because the Lord says that, you know, that your youth is being despised. Each time you find yourself, you know, youthful lost. Because why your youth will not be despised is because you must have fled youthful lust. So God expects us to model a conversation. And as a leader, you must know that much more. God expects much more. Proverbs 27:23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flock and look well to their what? Herds. So God expects a level of diligence for every leader. Now, within the household also, there's a primary person we want to talk about in every household, say father. And a father stands as a principal laborer. Is the head of every home under the church. And this labor is chiefly expressed through what? Care, direction, and provision for the family. First in the home, under the church. First in spiritual matters, then what? All our fathers in this house. You know, we've said it again and again. You should be able to teach your household. Even if your revelation is saying that God is making us divine, you must be able to do what? Teach your household. Even if you say walk. Even if you are turning it upside down, you must be able to teach your household. Because God gave you, say God gave you mouth. God gave you mouth. 1 Timothy 3:5. For if a man know not how to rule his household, if you can't rule your household, and ruling your household is not when you have the scepter of shouting. It's not scepter of shouting. It's not scepter of, you know, all manners. When you are kinu, or you are the God. You know, some men rule their household as if they are God. Oh, but Allah. My word is law. That's not how you rule your household. Because you cannot supply spiritual matters. If you yourself, you know, you say, you know, so a lot of fathers say, you do as I say, but you yourself, you are not doing what you are saying. You put everybody in conflict. They don't know whether to copy you or to copy your word. You confuse people. It's not matching. Ephesians 6:4. So God expects that fathers should be able to nurture. And ye fathers, do what? Provoke not your children to what? To rot, but bring them up where? In the nurture. Please, I want to charge your fathers that children under your care must not be provoked to rot. They must not say, because of my father, that is why I'm doing this. He said, provoke not. Bring them in the nurture. When your children, when they think about daddy, their thoughts should be blessed. When they think about daddy, they should say, I don't want to disappoint daddy. You don't know that you have provoked them. You know, a lot of fathers, meantime, you are tender with your girls, but with your boys, you make a lot of mistakes. Because it's in ego to ego. Your potential father is who you are talking to. And many times you are talking to yourself, because that was you. So, our fathers, you need to what? You need to see. Genesis 18:19. The Lord was speaking concerning Abraham. He said, because I know Abraham, my servant, he will teach his household, right? After me. See what he said. For I know him that he will what? Command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abraham. So God must trust our fathers that you can command your household. Not after yourself. He said, after what? After him. After God. And they shall keep. You can do commandment that your children will keep things when you are not there. Stop raising children that obey us only when we are there. Children that will do it because you have taught them. And you know, our responsibility, every sister, every wife, is to ensure that, you see that headship in over our fathers, it continues to increase. Our husbands, their mouth must never be shut. Because where they must find fathers is in the gate. When he talked about the husband of the virtuous woman, he said he will sit with the elders in the gates. God's people, there's a supply that men bring at the gates. Do you know what happened at the gates? Transaction happened at the gates. Judgment happened at the gates. Your husband, our fathers, must not be missing at the gates. You know, there's a way you must speak it up. As a wife, you must have the skill that to call for that thing more and more. Because the day they are supposed to speak over you, may Satan not have gagged their mouth. Satan not have used you. He may not use you to gag their mouth. You know, there's some men that cannot command in their household. Because of women, babe, you know, your babe, please. Your own is too much. You feel, excuse me, you know when husbands, fathers, handle children, you want to faint. I don't know if you have seen, but as a wife, you better remove your eyes. He will not kill him. If you kill him, it's his own. The wife, they are co-laborers with the father and the household, you know, through submission to ensure that instructions, order, and guidance flow through the head and is established within the home. The children must respond in honor. Proverbs 1:8. He says that, my son, forsake not the instructions of your father and the laws of what? Of your mother. Now, that laws, a translation, Amplified says the teachings. The Message says the learning of your mother on her lap. So, one of the things a woman has ability to do is say learn. You see why we must have more women embody this gospel? A woman must be able to bring learning. Say learning.
Learning.
Learning and teaching. Men can give instruction. They will give instruction. I want you to. But when it comes to the laws, laws means the fleshing out, the learning, it is in a woman. We must not be bankrupt of this thing. You know when they were talking, 1 Timothy 5:9, not a woman be taken into the number of under what? 70, having been the wife of what? One man. Before, she was a widow. Now, see the criteria. She was once married, right? So it means that in her married life, in her life as a sister, whether married or not, she must have reported for what? Good works. And we understand that good works is not just charity. You know, doing charitable deeds. You know, he said, for she has brought up what? She said, brought up. A woman should be able to see in an assembly, just see a child that is going, and a woman is able to just sit on that child and nurture that child. He said, brought up. He said, and a good works she has brought up. And if she had lodged strangers, if she had washed saints, what? Feet. If she had relieved the afflicted, if she had diligently followed every good work. I will therefore that younger women do what? Marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to your adversary to speak reproachfully. See, guide the house. In the woman question, Kenneth Hagin was explaining that issue of guide. Say guide. A woman should be able to guide a house. Guidance must not be far-fetching from a woman. Guidance. Ability to say guide. Guide the house. Guide people. The house is not just your own house. Guide, you know, you must be able to provide guidance. When somebody is walking, you know, bere, you know, you should have sisters in church that can call you that, sis, eh, brother, come. Sisters see what brothers don't see. Women see what men don't see. You don't understand. If you want to be wise, walk with aged women who have been raised by God. You'll be okay. Then Titus 2:3-5. He said, the aged woman likewise, that the behavior of aspicate holiness, not false accusers, not giving too much wine, teachers of what? Can you see that learner, teacher? There's a teaching grace that automatically rests upon every woman. Ability to teach. That they may teach the younger women to be what? You cannot teach what you don't have. So for them to be teaching younger women, you know, our aged, all our elders here must be able to teach younger women to be sober. And they can't teach if they are not sober. To be sober, to do what? To love their husband. This scripture makes you know that loving your husband, loving your children, it does not come with you being a woman. You need to be taught. It means that there's a way to love a man. There's a way to love a child. To be discreet, to be what? Chaste, keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be what? Blasphemed. So the Holy Ghost orders these garners, members of a church and household, may be watered by others one way or the other, but faithfully engaging the supplies of other laborers often becomes an exercise in itself. So in the church of Corinth, the believers were labored upon by Paul the apostle, who fed them and labored ceaselessly in prayer for them, and by Apollos, who as one of many instructors among them watered what had been planted. Yet they were also continually exhorted to be discerning towards one another and mindful of how they related within the body. You know, so there's a way God expects us to relate within the body. We must know no one after the flesh. Now, another part of this labor is the husbandry who co-labor. Say the husbandry. And that husbandry is all of us. Say all of us.
All of us.
He himself is the pivotal laborer in this harvest. So they are laboring over you. You yourself, you matter. You are significant. I'm significant. in the labor over me. You are required to partner with every labor by yielding yourself, responding to the demands initiated. You know, we are God's husbandry. Ephesians, we read that in God expects us to pay attention to the labor. And you yourself, you are a laborer. Me and you, we are laborer. Meaning that when there are things that are given, I respond. Say response.
Response.
While the other laborers describe thus far are tireless, they are consistent, unrelenting in their work, there's the same expectation upon the man whom the labor is being bestowed. Some of us, we can frustrate labor. Do this, you will not do. You will do it in your own way. When they're telling us to pray, excuse me, who are we praying for? Who were you praying for? We are ourselves. It's Satan that has done that. When men will labor over you and there's no response from you, that means that somebody is sitting on our head. He must give attendance. And one thing I also wanted to emphasize, if you read Colossians 1:10, it talks about work. It talks about grow. You understand? It talks about grow. It talks about being fruitful. It just looks like there's an expectation of fruitfulness that abounds from you. I said that many of us think that our life is as if, you know, there's a way we think when it comes to our growth, our doing well, there's no expectation from us. You don't understand? But when scriptures gives verbs like be fruitful, every branch in me that does not grow, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. So it means bearing fruit. It looks like the bearing is on you. If I say walk worthy, the walking, they will not hold your leg to walk. When you are going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you know some people, the reason why they've not received baptism of the Holy Ghost is because they close their mouths and say, I've not received. They say, speak. The mouth, it's not Holy Ghost will not hold your mouth to say the words. You, the mouth is your mouth. There's nothing you receive from God that does not involve your input. There's nothing you receive from God and own that does not involve your input. So we cannot be talking about that the husbandry, they are just laboring over you. You are coming to church. We are doing this. You should not be found here, my brothers and my sisters. So we must give attendance to what doctrine and obey as is delivered to you. Repentance must be accompanied by what? Genuine commitment to what? Change. Evidence by what? Practical responses of faith towards the Lord. Those in spiritual authority and what? Fellow believers. Where do we see these responses? Submission. Obedience, bearing one another, forgiveness, and continually what? Steadfastness in fellowship, refusing to allow offense to disrupt what? The unity. Some of us, offense has finished our life. You will come in an husbandry, you'll be offended at the word, offended at leaders, offended at our brother. You cannot even sit there and say that, wait, oh, this thing will kill me. True. Many of us need to be having true evaluation of our growth. It just looks like that is also missing. No, before you sleep every night, evaluate your day. Know the places where something was wrong with you or you were wrong with something. And propose to change. It's true. But we must hone it. Say on. We must hone it. Romans 16-17. Know ye not to whom you yield yourself, servant to what? Obey. A servant you are to whom we what? Obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you are a servant of sin, but you have obeyed from what? This art, from that form of doctrine which were delivered to you. So there's nobody that became a servant without obedience. That's what the scripture is telling you. That you see, to obey the form of doctrine, you need to obey. And when it comes to obedience, excuse me, obedience is only domiciled in you. The power to obey is in you. Obedience. Even Holy Ghost will not anoint you to obey. Holy Ghost will give you words, but you will choose to obey. That's why he said, I place before you life and what? Choose. You see, that choosing is obedience. You will choose whether you want to serve death or you want to serve life. But the issue of service, nobody is possessed to serve. You choose to serve. Even when grace is supplied, there's a place where you are the one that obey. Now, labor of believers within the church and the household. Now, labor in word. Say labor in word and doctrine. The believer is required to carry out the labor under word and one doctrine. And how do you carry it out? Labor to hear what? And study. Say labor to hear. So in case you are wondering, how do I labor? This thing is to show us how to labor. Luke 8:18. Say hear and study. Hear. Say hear. 18. You see, some of us, our hear should not be decoration. Our hear should do what it was made to do. Some of us need to pray for our sense organ, i.e. hear. Because sometimes we have been programmed to hear wrongly. Some people, the only thing they are here is what they ought not to hear. You say, take heed therefore how you do what? There's hearing and there's also taking heed out to hear. For whatsoever hearts to him shall be what? Given. So, hearing is what opens up giving to you. You are here, I'm talking, this woman is talking, this woman is talking. Some people are hearing is at home with jollof rice. Yeah. Some people, I'm just saying, you're here. Some people's hearing is in their work, uncompleted task. He said, take heed how you hear. So one label you must be flow is that when you are here, be here and hear. When if you come to church with your full self. Don't leave your here at home. Don't come and just occupy space. We need space. Yes, don't just sit down and just sit down and you're just there. That space might have benefited somebody who was standing. Then study. 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to what?
Reading.
And what? And to what?
Doctrine.
So, reading. Say reading.
Reading.
Some people, the only time you open Bible is in church. It's only when, you know, we force you to open Bible. You don't open it. To read, then labor to understand. Matthew 13, understanding. There's a labor that, you know, don't come to church and say, what is Pastor Thompson saying? Which one is word? Which one is testimony? Which one is labor? Understanding. You must labor. You see the parable of the sower. What happened to that wayside out? He said, because man does not have what? If you don't understand something, don't leave it. I don't understand. You just leave it and you are sitting there. I don't understand. 5 years. I don't understand doctrine of Christ. 10 years. I don't understand faith. How many years? And you are still not understanding. The enemy has done this. So labor. Say labor to understand. Get books. Get tapes. Being on message. When you listen. An entrance will you listen. Sleep and listen. Wake up and listen. Listen. And I am not telling you what I have not used. Just keep listening. Keep listening, you will see that an entrance and understanding will open to you. But you should not come to a meeting and you did not understand. And then you are okay with not understanding. Labor to understand. Then labor to keep and obey the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 1:13 to 14. Obey the Holy Ghost. Say obey. Obedience. Then labor in fellowship and gathering. Hebrews 10:25. What does it say? Not forsaking the assembly of what? As a manner of some, but exhorting one another. So much as you see the day. That's why you must come for meetings. Then labor in conversation. You know, labor to consider what you are saying, translate into a manner of life. We talked about that. 1 Peter 1:15, 1 Peter 3:2, you know, Matthew 7:24. He said, he that hear and obey. When Jesus was talking about the parable of the wise man build his house upon the rock, he said, he that hear and what? Obey. So labor to bring forth what? Conversation. Then labor in prayer. Say labor in prayer. You must labor, you must know how to pray. Don't know how to groan alone. Know how to pray. Because the world is teaching groaning. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Ephesians 6:18. Say pray all manners of prayer. All manners of prayer. All manners of prayer. And so say pray without ceasing. He said pray always with all what? Prayer. With all prayer. All manners. Watching. Therefore with all perseverance and supplication for the saint. Then labor to keep the bond of unity. Can we say that together? Psalm 133 verse 1 says, behold, how pleasant is it for what? For brethren to dwell together in unity. It says it's like a oil upon the head of Aaron and his sons that flows from where? How do you keep the bond of unity? You forgive, you forbear, you refuse the prosperity of offense around you. It's a labor. It's a labor not to be offended. Labor not to keep offense. Labor to forgive. You know, forgiveness is a labor. And you say somebody has not done you strong thing. Forgiveness is a labor. So, your labor to let go. Then, subjection to the spirit. Romans 13:1 says what? Be subject to all what? Higher authorities. Higher spiritual authority. Higher visible. You must labor to be under. Under the church. Don't suddenly just discover a revelation that makes you higher than everybody. Amen. So, the great harvest is inseparable connected to laborers at different levels within the church and across homes and households, who must diligently labor to ensure that the desire of God concerning his people is brought to what? Future. The grace to labor proceeds from the head through the church and extends to every home and what? Household. Therefore, whosoever desires to faithfully labor upon and to become an effective laborer must ensure proper alignment and what? Continued what? Participation and supply under the order and oversight of the church and the household to which God has joined them. Ephesians 4:15 to 16. He said, but speaking what? The truth in love may what? Grow up unto him in all what? All things. Which is the head, even what? Christ. So I'm saying that God expects us to grow up in him into what? All things. The Lord will bless us. The Lord will cause grace to be abounded towards us. If you are a leader in this house, you will wake up to the call to labor. If you are a husband, that is all of us. Both the leaders and everybody, we are all part of the husbandry of God. We will wake up to the labor of God within, in the name of Jesus. God bless us.
Hallelujah. Can we say thank you, Mommy? Thank you so much, Ma, for the labor. Mama has touched everything, but just to highlight a few things as well. I wrote down here, I said, a slothful man is one that will not fulfill the cycle of labor. So labor is a cycle. And if a man will not fulfill that cycle of labor, heaven considers such a man as being slothful. Imagine the conversation that went on, you know, that place that Mama was showing us concerning the man that planted a fig in his vineyard and then the vine dresser. What they made us to realize, he said, then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree. What this means is that from the very first year, this fig is supposed to have started bringing forth fruit. So year one went, there was no fruit. Year two, and what this just shows us is that they always check in with the Holy Ghost on our matter. The Father and the Son always checks in with the Holy Ghost on all our matters. They come and they check how far. Fruit day, fruit no day. Second year, how far? Fruit day, fruit no day. Third year, he said, okay, let's cut it down. Then the vine dresser said, let it alone. I like that word. He said, let it alone this year also. That also means this conversation has started from the first year. Let it alone also this year. Say, let me dig it and dung it. Peradventure, it will bring forth fruit. Say, if it does not bring forth fruit, then you can go ahead. One thing that I want, that this just brought to my, you know, to my understanding, is that labor is time bound. Labor is time bound, and you are not going to be left to labor forever. Because there are certain measures that are supposed to bring forth certain levels of harvest. So if the first year passes and time goes and we don't put in the diligent and required labor, it is very possible that that time might pass us over. When you plant corn, for example, corn is, let's say, 3 months, you get your harvest, right? When you plant orange, how many years is orange? 3 to 5 years to get a harvest of orange. In fact, some harvest begins to bring forth, maybe in the first year of its harvest, it might bring forth very few number of oranges. Then the next year, it keeps on increasing like that. But we must understand that what we are also doing in the household of faith, talking about our church and various homes, is also a planting. And then there's also a timing that they are expecting certain levels of harvest. So the work done on you, let's say they expect to see the fruiting of a particular life in 2 years, in 3 years, in 4 years, they are going to bestow every necessary labor, put you under every necessary training for you to bring forth that fruit. But the very disheartening thing is that, like you, the orange tree is dependent solely on you to bring forth harvest. But we as humans, no matter the input of heaven upon our lives, without our cooperation, there might be no fruit. So, the conversation between the man that owns the fig tree plantation and the vine dresser was saying that the fruiting of this fig tree is dependent on this fig. Because earlier he was talking about repentance. It was because he was talking about repentance that he began to talk about this particular parable. So, meaning that this tree in itself is supposed to bring forth fruit unto repentance. So, there are certain things. So, that digging around and dunking is so that that tree can receive new measures of labor and also labor with what is receiving for the purpose of fruiting. I'm saying all this because what Mama has just printed to us, she showed us the cycle of labor. That when you are waking up from your bed in the morning every day, like what she said, you know, every man here is an account manager. There's an account you are managing, which is your soul, that you are going to give record of How much labor did I bestow on Monday morning? How much labor did I bestow Monday afternoon? How much labor did I bestow Monday night? But the way the world is designed, the adversary has ensured that man will never be able to labor the way he ought to labor. So you can wake up in the morning and throughout that day, no single labor is bestowed towards your growth, towards your maturity, towards your fruitfulness, because you don't even understand what it entails. You don't know what is at stake. We don't know that they are expecting fruit of us because of harvest. And Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10 was saying that if the iron be blunt, he do not wet the edge, then must he put to much strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. What does this mean? It means that a man can think he's laboring, be putting in plenty effort, but what he's doing is not the expected labor. So we said that labor is in cycle, is that there are certain things that you must begin to labor with first of all, that shows that you want to obey the cycle. They will not just give you an axe. They give you an axe. The mouth is very blunt. They say, go and cut that tree. Then you go to the tree and you start putting more effort. You start putting more effort. No. They say, first of all, go and sit down. Get a sharpening device and begin to sharpen the mouth of the axe. Now, that looks like waste of time. People seeing you will not think you are laboring. So, if you cannot labor in word and doctrine, because what brings you wisdom is the labor that you give to word and doctrine. So, if you don't labor in word and doctrine, it is not possible for you to do all that labor properly. So, we cannot be comfortable with, I don't understand. That this one, I don't... The reason for meetings, the reason for household, you know, household discipleship programs being set up is because of the purpose of imbibing wisdom for labor. Because if we don't have wisdom for labor, we will do plenty of things, but we will never bring forth fruit. We will do a whole lot. We'll be doing things. We'll be, in fact, we can be very skillful at departmental jobs. We can be very skillful at delivering certain things, but there is no labor being effected upon the heart. And that is where God is targeting. That is the desire of God, that a people will be raised holistically that knows how to labor, that knows what to do per time, per season, that this season will not just go upon us. Mama was praying that the spirit of forgetfulness will be dealt with. No, last week, I almost felt like crying when Mama began to quote some scriptures and say we should read it. And many of us were murmuring. And I'm like, I didn't used to be like this. What happened to me? That I cannot even, you can see quoting of scripture is nothing. We already, they can project it. But what happened to the place of it is written? Jesus said it is written. He did not need to go and start opening. Where did they say this? It came forth from his spirit. How come that we cannot? Scripture is no longer resident within us. How come we are comfortable? Many of us laughed it and we went to sleep. How many of you went back and read those scriptures and said, why don't I know these things? We laughed it and it just passed and that is all. We don't see that this thing is showing that I'm not giving enough labor. I'm not doing enough. I've become comfortable with, oh, I just remember something. Holy Ghost prompts a scripture. Oh, I can go to AI and say, okay, where is this found in the scriptures? So there's need to labor. We must understand that there are adversaries against our labor. Things that just want you to be satisfied. Okay. Just okay. Well, it's not a big deal. It's fine. There are things to cover up for. But they are cheating us of the harvest. They are cheating us of the harvest. Can we just bow down our heads this morning? You know that as God has begun to bring to us, you know, how to labor, that we are going to respond to this in Jesus' name.
Honor to you, Son of God. Glory to you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Can you appreciate Pastor Dupe for me? And also, Pastor Praise. Felt that I need to lend my voice. As what I said last week, the more I was still praying and waiting, the more I discovered that the thing is very, very true. That at the end of this lesson, ignorance will have be taken away. And because our ignorance has been taken away, there are things that God used to wink at, God will no longer wink at them. There are things that you feel that you have reason why, you will no longer have reason for those things. I sense that after this teaching, there's a major push. That's what I would say. Major push that the Lord will expect us to come into it. I want you to know that a labor, like what Pastor Priest said, labor is attached to time. You must know that timing is highly attached to your labor. Why? Why? Because when you don't labor, when you are out to labor, there is the night cometh when no man can walk. Night is not darkness. Night is things that are against laborers. One of the things that come against labor is the depletion of strength of the soul. Every labor that you do, for example, one of the things that we have been laboring since we have the outcome meeting, he said, remember the Lord that day, the creator and the day of the youth, before the evil day will come, when you will say, I have no pleasure. Because that thing comes, that is evil day. Formerly, you used to have pleasure. There's certain things that, being a pastor, I've seen people that we are hearing this message 5-3 years along the line because they felt they were overwhelmed with certain nature that were in them because they didn't bestow labor. Eventually, they now found another message. They find, some of them find grace message and say, or find overstretch new creation reality. I'm a spirit. Man is a spirit. And find an umbrella to go and hide. Because one thing that new creation reality and overstretch new creation reality does that it takes away labor from people. There's some messages take away labor. There's some messages that Satan sent to the body to take away involvement of a believer or make believers' involvement in them becoming like Christ more or believing. And the torn Bible that is only acknowledging every good thing that have been done in Christ Jesus. What that message did that they took away responsibility. That different from what Paul said, this thing I do, I put my body under that after I preach to many, I will not become a cast away. So a man can be a cast away. To be a cast away does not mean you're going to go to lake of fire. That's how Paul rendered it. Paul also rendered it another way in 1 Corinthians 3. He said, every man's work will be tested by fire. Every man's work will be tested by fire. Your what you call work there is your labor. Because what you call labor, what you call work there, was what Hebrews chapter 6 said. For God is not unjust or unrighteous to forget your work and labor. Jesus knew this very, very well. Joker knew this one very well. Joker gave attendance to first 30 years of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was laboring on himself. Joker was laboring on himself for 30 years. When he said, my father's business, Joker was laboring. Joker was not preaching for 30 years. All what he dedicated 30 years for is to labor to become when he came into Jordan. This is my beloved son. He labored in himself, in whom I am well pleased. And where he did that labor, he used the two available institutions God gave to him. God gave to him synagogue. Bible said, as his custom was, after he returned back, from the mountain of temptation, Bible said, he returned back and he went into his city, which was Nazareth. As his custom was on the day of Sabbath, he went to the temple. Then another place that Jacob labored was in his home. You will know that the sibling of Jacob know that Jacob is a laborer. He said, no one do this thing you do in the secret and his sin is nobody. Then Jacob was laboring in this house. He told them, he said, your own time is always, but my own time has not reached. There's certain things that I still need to do in the secret. Everybody we are doing, people felt that like the amount of what you are doing in this house. And he was not preaching to them. The amount you are living, maybe once in a while, he will read the synagogue. And once in a while, if he come to the house, maybe he's talking to his mother and they are all talking. I don't know if his siblings were interested. But certain things we do to the if his siblings we do to him, the way he responds to them, or the way they will just feel that your own is too much. You, in fact, your own is more than the rabbi that are in Jerusalem. You know, but unknown to them that he was putting on labor on himself. The issue is not with the husbandman, who is the father, concerning feed of harvest, which is your soul. All the Trinity are involved. Concerning your feed, which is your soul. It's your feed, though. Your feed. God the Father has labor. Because he sent his son and buy your soul and buy your body. So the father is involved. He's the husbandman. Because they talk about laborers. Whatever you. Your Trinity are involved. The father, the husbandman. He is the one that is cultivating you, your feet, for himself. And also for you. Then, the son himself is also part. The son has done his labor. And he's still at the right hand side of the majesty. Still laboring concerning your feet. Though he's seated, but he's still bestowing labor. He's making intersection. Holy Ghost is making. Then the Lord, the harvest. Holy Ghost is making intersection. And Holy Ghost is with you. He's living on your inside. Not for decoration, but to cause you to be able to be willing. He worketh in you both to will and to do. Then they also bless you with men. They bless you with fivefold ministry, which all of them may not be in the local church. At different time, they bring them in. God will stir for the servant to bring them in into local church at different time to come and labor. Then beyond fivefold ministry, there are also those who admonish. Those, like all your second community pastor, they are there to admonish, exhort. And the essence of all this thing is that nobody, you see, when you see the husbandman, when you see the father, because you will see him, you will not be able to open your mouth and say there is no resources. Or you will say, I never had men that bestow labor. So you say you can't see us, you can't see three of us. Okay, I think you know you have Holy Ghost. Even if you have a doubt, you can't see the Father, you can't see the Son, you can't walk about men who are my messenger that I sent to you. And not only that, outside your pastor, God also bestow labor. For example, God put some of us in different household. God put some of us in the church with friends and brothers. That's one reason why you must not just be a brother with mouth because of what you want to chop. You can't tell your brother truth and your sister truth. One of the primary purpose why you are in anybody's life, any of your believer's life, any believer's life, is primarily to bestow labor on them. Because you are a part, you are a joint that's supposed to supply something to your brother. Either you are living together, or you will meet in church, or you are just praying. The heart are open. The person's heart is open to you. You must know that you are there. Paramount is not just to be a Manchester United club member. Why nothing is bad in you because you are all the same club member. But you must know why you and their life is to bestow labor. I wanted to say something. Husbands, you must know that your wife is a feed. Peter was right. Say, husbands should dwell with their wife with knowledge. For they are heirs together of the grace of life. You must know. If you let that woman become hardened because of your foolishness. Because I usually tell every man that will care to listen to me. If keep your mouth quiet, if be a fool in your marriage, we save your wife, be foolish. Even if you are going to be foolish for 50 years, be foolish. But you have saved a soul. Firstly, you have saved yourself. Because if you want to, you see, it will be a foolish spouse. I'm talking about a man, a woman. That because your husband did something, you choose to do otherwise. This joke has called people foolish. You are not wise. You don't know that it's a great harvest. Whatsoever a man soweth, he shall reap. He that soweth the flesh. If because your wife refused to do what you asked her to do or what you suggested, she chose not to do it, and you decided to not to eat her food or to withhold intimacy, or when she asks for what you see, any good you see, any good you know to do, you see that there's some good to do, either different kind of good. Either she is a bit ill because you have been telling her, why don't you exercise yourself? Why don't you do this? And she felt that I can't do it because I know something. The one I'm doing is enough. Or you are telling her, why don't you exercise yourself? Why don't you work on your food? Because these are things sometimes, or why don't you do this? And the man, or the woman does not do it. And every time she falls sick, and you now say, I've been telling you. And you decided to be cold-hearted. You chose not to open up your bowl of mercy and compassion to nurse her. Or even when you are nursing her, you are doing it with a lot of vindictiveness. What you are doing, you are sweating to the flesh. No time you do that your heart remains the same. Something happened to your own feet. Your heart is your feet. Your mind is your feet. See, this you must know. Because you can do something and you do it grudgingly. It tamper with the texture of your soul. Your soul texture does not remain the same. Something happened to your feet. Either your feet become more hardened, or your conscience become more seared. Because that's something. But people can do something to you. Why would God tell you to pray for our enemy? Those who hurt you. Those who have harmed you. Why did God ask you not to prepare them? Because God does not want anything to happen to your own conscience. Because you need your conscience to keep. You need your conscience because you are still journeying. There are many righteous things you don't know what is right. Yeah. The Holy Ground, Holy Ghost can move and put pressure into your conscience. Though you do something, then you don't know what you have done, what it is. Because you, in yourself, you don't know that it's right. But Holy Ghost sometimes come and work on your conscience, that your conscience starts feeling restless. Then from your conscience, you don't have a righteousness standard in your soul. But based on the impulse of Holy Ghost, you know you are restless. I don't like the way you did that thing. And you repented and corrected it. But each time you treat a matter, something happened to your conscience. Your conscience becomes a bit more sear. It's like somebody that is taking hot coffee and kept on taking hot coffee. After a while, those all the nerves of the tongue will be at some particular temperature of the hot coffee you're taking. After a while, your tongue will be numb to that level of hotness. And that's the one of the problem. There's an animal, or there's a small animal that he adapts. Frog. Frog will be cooked and fully boil. Because whenever the temperature of water is going, well, it just adjusts. It keeps on adjusting. That's what I put to soul. Soul adjusts for what you use it for. offended you, you keep grudge. Let me also say this to sisters that stay in the same house. You live in the house, but you are perfect strangers. Two perfect strangers live in the house. Because I don't know what we are competing. Never, I was talking to one of my daughter. There must never be anybody that you say, because I don't want to have issue in the church. I don't want to have, we are still going to come to it. We are going to take a lesson called labor of love in the church and the household. Because that's one area we must bestow labor, labor of love. You know, some of us, we tolerate each other. And why do you tolerate each other? Because you don't want to bestow labor. You tolerate. Tolerating one another is not a commandment you do when you become a brethren. Tolerating your brethren, tolerance in the holy place is not a law in the most holy, in the holy place. And nobody is still doing tolerance. We have access into most holy. God is not tolerating us. Go and read fruit of the Spirit. There's no tolerance there. It's not an attribute of the Spirit. He might use it in love for all the saints, but making you move into holy place is not a thing they allow. When heaven knows when you are tolerating a brother, heaven knows when you are tolerating your wife, heaven knows when you are tolerating your husband. Why, when you have not moved yourself into a place of bestowing love unconditionally, tolerance is because you don't want to move into a zone of unconditioned. So we do that, I mean, sister to sister, husband to wife. Those things is a sign that we are not ready to move into a season of great harvest. Gospel. Every household, you must be able to know that fruitfulness and harvest are in season. Sometimes you may go through a season of hardship in your home. I'm talking about a season of hardship in your home. Things are just hard in homes. That even sometimes you must know that there is a response that God expects every follow-up. You can find yourself that in a family, husband and wife are living together, things are very hard for them. But you, as a younger person, or you are living with them, you have resources. Husband and wife, things are very hard for them. But you are living with them and you are not married, but you have resources. So you must know that that resources, God particularly, God knows that that thing will happen. Except you don't believe in omniscience of God. But if you know, and there's a resource in your hand, God expects you in that home to begin to distribute very well what you are. Maybe what is in that household will be just a token that you supply before. But it doesn't just come. Something happens. And you have resources. God expects you not to be selfish. Because that is an opportunity for you at that time. Like what Esther said. Do you know, maybe at this point, such a time that God has brought you. But if you not do, God will just help somewhere else. You see, you must know. You see, that at that season, your labor in that house is your resources. Your labor is not, okay, let us just manage you. And where my regular contribution in this house is 30,000. I've done by 30,000. And you know things that have not been done. And you just pretend there's nothing happening. Because it's going to happen. But I'm putting this in record. I don't know if it's happening in any household yet. I want to put it in record. For you to know that God expected you. That's what you are doing. You are sowing to the flesh. God expected you to sow to the spirit. Like when you read the book of Hebrews chapter 6. He said, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. In that you are ministered. You are ministered and do minister. You do not know that is a ministration that you want to carry out. You are thinking ministration is carrying microphone. You think ministration is choir to come and sing. Because that's what exactly what he said in Galatians. He that ministered seed and he that ministered bread. You see, you must be able to know how to labor. Or some of us, sister, we live together. You only do what you have been assigned to do. You feel that today is not my food. I'm not going to prepare any food today. So everybody will not eat food because that person that's supposed to cook is not around. Because you feel that my food is to cook on Wednesday and Friday. Yes, Tuesday, the sister is supposed to cook food is not around. So everybody will not eat. Or by the time you come by 8 o'clock, is when we start cooking. We start cooking. We will wait. You see, that's your heart. That he that knoweth what is good and do not deal to him is a sin. See, you may the Lord show you wisdom. May you know how to labor. You are waiting for the God, a person that has something to do on Tuesday. Heaven may be the one that keep that person away. May you understand the Lord of the harvest. How the Lord, the Holy Ghost, how the Holy Ghost bring forth subjection. That thing is to subject you. It's an opportunity to subject you. You have done your own for Wednesday. You have done your own for Friday. Here is Saturday. It's not around. Or something. Or you have done your own for Monday and Wednesday. And here is two or on Friday. And it's, the person is not where to be found. Traffic rain just fair. Or rain does not even fall. There's no. If rain falls, you can say, okay, I have reason now to give God. Okay, it's being headed by rain. But there's no rain. Then you are the one. You are at home. And you are thinking that, where's Sister Dolakpo? And Father calling, taking phone to call. Sister Dolakpo, won't you eat tonight? Where are you? Oh boy, you see, that's your phone call. I wish that you are wise in the spirit to know that everyone that is the Lord of the harvest. You see, so because I want us to put flesh around this thing, that you know that the Lord of the harvest is the one that is trying to subject you. That's what they call subjection of the spirits. But you won't be, because you don't have, that's any of this teaching is to open your eyes to see, to take away your ignorance. You're able to know when that thing happened. When you are thinking, trying to be a gangrene, this, I will think we're not going to eat early today, that you'll be wise to say, that you will have you, a judgment will be raised on your inside. Sometimes beneath your feeling, you say, is this the Lord have setting me up, arranging me? Because to you, taking out that kitchen to prepare food, because though it's not your own, you don't know that that's a labor. Both labor to your soul to know that you are the one that divide responsibility. But in the Holy Ghost calendar, they don't divide responsibility too. It's you that you design responsibility for your comfort and your convenience. But Holy Ghost was not the one that helped you design that thing. You design it so that you guys can manage and run home. So you are trying to use your timeline to work with the law of others that want to save your soul. He that can come and scatter your schedule and your arrangement, he can subject you and deal because he knows why he's training you like that. Because he's training you to become a laborer, a workman that is instant in season and out of season. He wants to make you to be instant. And that accident, instead you have to be instant. That accident. You are accident. It's the one that you do it. You are not instant. You don't see every grant to bestow labor. So you are accident. You are dragging your feet. He said you have to be instant. You have to be instant. He said, be instant in what is good. You don't know it. And many of us, we have missed out many. And it happened also. Some of us, we don't know. We don't know how to labor. We don't know how to labor and bestow labor. You must know this. You must be able to read it. I'm able to interpret all these things. That's why it's very critical. That one of the things that you must pray is that for you to be wise. Nobody is not wise that can be an husbandry that lack wisdom. Why you are hesitant? Why you are dragging your... Why you are hesitant in your heart? Your heart is drawing back. He said, your heart to jump. Someone to jump. You want to take advantage of things. Knowing that there is a Lord of the heaven, which is the Holy Ghost, that can orchestrate the situation. The Lord may want to serve you. The Lord is trying to make sure that feed grow. Don't want to have friends. And make sure the father of the house suddenly does not have means to run the house anymore. You are thinking... This man, he suddenly lost his job or their company downsized. And the only option, there's not enough resources. And two of you, you are young people, your brother and you are living in that house. And all the resources, God moved it to them. You will not be wise in the spirit of the father of the house should be the one. It's not someone like that. The Lord of the harvest, Holy Ghost that is leading her. Holy Ghost will ask what he's trying to do in the husband and the woman that you may not have a clue to. The Holy Ghost that allow it, know what he's trying to do. In fact, the pastor may not understand it. But Holy Ghost, no, because me, I know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called by his name. I don't know as a pastor, but once I've gone to know, like David, I've not only that she follow shepherd, sometimes shepherd also follow sheep. I've also learned things I don't understand. I just learned to follow that God is working something that we're going to understand as I travel with the sheep. There's something that God is doing in the man and the woman's life. Maybe sometimes they have not learned how to manage resources. And that's why God brings that season upon them. Or when they have resources, they've not known how to distribute and communicate. God, and because of that, they come into a season why they don't have enough, but they are soon to be able to receive from it. Or it's time for the Lord wanted to launch them to another season that they must know. No, there are different things that everyone orchestrates. It may be that because they have not known how, they've not really known how to communicate and sow very well. They give. You know, some people give. No, people give. But to move people from giving bountifully is different. Everybody can give. Everybody give in church. But to move a sow, because either everyone wants to move them to know how to sow bountifully. And when you want to sow bountifully, it's not that you're going to have, you're not going to have bountifully. You don't have bountifully because that's what we mean bountifully. When you sow bountifully, it's when you don't have or you have little. But sometimes, for you to sow bountifully, you may need to withhold from your own needs. No, nobody, you don't start sowing bountifully when you are bountifully. It's in your little that you start. What everyone qualifies bountifully in that season that you have your own plenty of things to address, but you try to leave them and do attend toward the Lord. Why am I saying this? That heaven will bless us to know that. I've spoken about your own labor. I've spoken for you to be able to know how to read the Lord of the harvest, which is primarily with you. And things that he brings is subjection. Leading by subjection. He subjects your brothers at home, your sisters at home. He subjects husband sometimes. You know, there are some ladies that they may not be sober. They may not be safe-faced. But God will begin to instruct a guy that is gentle. He has gentle spirit and broken to marry solidly that are not shamefaced. They don't just know. Because you see, people have inherited different nature. Those nature we are cultured by their home. They stand up to everything. They just stand up. All their life, they stand up to defend themselves and defend things. And God will just go and let a brother that is quiet of gentle spirit. This is also, I'm saying this thing for you brothers. The lady like to stand up. So some of that can be a bit vocal. But which is not ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. But God will just make, and God have over time trained the young man to be quiet, to be gentle. So that he can help the lady. You see, no amount of discipleship program. It is a man that is gentle and quiet spirit that will deal with that nature. You see, if we do anything until she enters to that marriage and that guy that know how to wear that thing off. Because every time after she has turned, every time when she issue happen in the house, because she has been turned, not to be there, she will just see that the guy is quiet. You know, after that, she will start see beginning to pay other money, something. After you have done that, you go say, okay, sit us. Say, okay, sir. That's why. Who can a woman be if I marry? No, guilt, conscience. That conscience, nothing can touch it. It's the arrangement of that guy that can touch that thing. So, you other brother, your brother is your friend. He come and ask that, this lady, what is. Forever! Don't go there! Don't go there! You see, you are not cooperating with the law of the harvest. Lord, harvest, no. You see the weakness in that lady. But Lord, the harvest has the wisdom that I want to help this, my daughter. I'm cultivating her. But I've not found my way around this thing. This guy can handle it. Mama, say something. There are things that you think that you can't handle.
There are things you think you can't handle. It is on you. You know that God I put certain, you know, there are things that inside that are buried you don't know you can't do. Have you beyond that thing that you feel that if this is not happen, we will die here? But that thing came and happened and nothing happened. Have you gone through life like that? Have you happened to you? Well, if you don't do something about this thing, everything is scatter. But the thing came out, nothing scatter. Life didn't end. That's why one thing that we must know when we talk about laborer must not be afraid of their life. No man that will labor in great effort is afraid of his life. He that wants to keep his life, will lose it. But if that we lose it, we gain it. But you see, once I'm trusting the Lord, that's our teacher, that's why I say, we need to preach for a moment, that we have wisdom. You see, as this thing is going, I'm seeing, I'm having encounters. I'm having an encounter, I'm seeing that God wants to use this major thing to have a major, I feel there's going to be a major breakthrough in our church. And a lot of people will come into some, because people will start seeing ground of labor on their feet and begin to labor there. And there will be a lot of fruitfulness.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinosinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.